listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We have an action-packed hour this Wednesday for you. Yeah, Super Bowl talk and... this is particularly interesting. Where is the money going? We got the right guy for that. Steve Fezzik, NFL expert, all the college knowledge, Brad Powers. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. Bottom of the hour, we've got a little something different. Yesterday, I had a theory, we'll call it, about Bill Belichick and how people responding to him says something about you. And boy, we got a lot of people say, wow, RJ, that was right on. Others said, I'm offended. I'm mad. Well, listen, if you're mad, we give you a chance to speak up. Bottom of the hour, we're going to recap the Belichick perspective I had, and then we're going to open the phone lines. We've never done this except for Pick Graffiti. And I'm going to have a short leash. If it's not good early, we're just going to pull it. But we do have, Straight Out of Vegas, the smartest audience in sports radio. That's objectively true. By the way, you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here on Straight Out of Vegas, here on Fox Sports Radio, RJ. And we're going to start today with Super Bowl 53. The game kicks off a week from Sunday. The matchup is set. We've got the Patriots going back to the Super Bowl from the AFC, taking on the LA Rams. So, RJ, where does Vegas have the money right now?
All right, Fez, you are the master. Two-time Super Contest champion. That's a one-of-a-kind thing. You did it back-to-back just to brag, show off. But I think you're even better, if it's possible, at reading the market. You look at the screen, and you say, oh, look at that, look at that. That tells. It's like a doctor that sees you limping on a bad foot and says, oh, you got a brain tumor. Well, how would you know? Well, Fezzik's like that. Fez, this one, though, I'm not sure it needs all your expertise because it's nothing but Pat's money.
Yeah, line open, pick 'em on Sunday night, and
well, actually, there was Rams one out there, right?
There was some Rams plus one. I got a piece of. There was some New England plus one. I got a piece of some of that Patriots plus one. RJ,
always getting the best of it, Fez.
You want a nickel?
Well, no. Well, yeah, but
<got it. laughs>
that's a whole different thing. But remember, we got a rule. We baited you into it. If you talk about a line, we'll give it away because you were trying to give good info there. But here's what we do. There's nothing worse than a handicapper. And you hear this on these Vegas shows here in town in which they go, oh, yeah, right now the line's, this is the handicapper's voice, by the way. The line's 7, but yeah, I got it 9.5. It was offshore. It was an outlaw line circled. It's like, first of all, you're lying, probably. But number two, who cares? Like, if the only answer is, I like this game, but not near as much as I did because the lines moved, that's some pretty boring radio. I guess that's why they're doing the radio for, like, bologna sandwiches and such here locally. But all that said, Fez, you got a piece of that early line, but it's been nothing but Pat's money.
Yeah, so current line, Patriots are -2.5, and we have even seen a select book blip up to Patriots -3, but right back to -2.5.
And this reinforces the point I make all the time.
Let's go, let's go, let's make some dough.
What's up? Good?
Hey. Don't miss that open.
It said, don't miss that open. When that opening number comes out, it's you as a batter against the odds maker. And the guy might be pretty smart, but it's one guy, two guys, three guys maybe. Maybe there's three around a table if it's a big book with the first world opener. Brad, you show this, and I mean, again, talk about objective truth. There was a book here in town opened up college football games in June, if I remember, yep, right? Maybe 125 of them.
Yep.
And you went down. What was the limits?
Limits were nickels for group of five teams and dimes for power five.
All right, so 500,000.
Yep.
Brad's cool. He uses the parlance and such. But he says the stripper, what? You want a nickel for that? Have you ever said that?
No.
All right. Now, so now we know you're not telling the whole truth, but you're gonna tell us the truth about these games. Now, of those 125 this college football season in June, so it's all look aheads, the biggest game of the years. How many did you bet?
I bet about 20 to 25.
That's a lot.
Yes.
I think an average bettor, an average sharp, and again, you are a specialist in college, maybe they're doing half that many.
Yep.
But you think about it, oh my gosh, that odds maker's so stupid. He was wrong with 12 lines. Well, no. Yeah, he was, you know, wrong if you're just counting on your hands with 12 lines. But he was right with 113 of them or whatever if there was 125. So if he's only right 90% of the time, he's still in trouble. That's the advantage of being a bettor, which is you get to cherry pick the games you want to bet. And it's why so few sports books are willing to put up the world opener. They are going to make it. Imagine something that you're right 90%+ of the time and you still lose money over it. That's what it would be to open up 125 games. If you're only wrong on 12 of them, you were right on 90%+. And still, Brad, how'd you do on those bets?
This year I didn't do so well, just barely above 50%.
But when, let's compare, and again, yeah, in any random group of 25 games, and we do appreciate your honesty, what was your average edge on the line come game day? So let's say you bet a game in October, you took six, game closes at Pick'em, you're plus six,
yep,
you've got a great bet. Now, maybe you're going to lose those in any given season, but boy, you had the best of it by 3+ points in most
games. 4 points per game it was.
That was the average.
Yep.
Okay. So is Brad better than that odds maker? No. Probably not. Maybe not. But I'm guessing, Brad, if you made 125 lines, Fezzik's going to chew them up.
Yep.
So on one hand, let's give the bookmakers who are willing to do world openers credit. But on the other hand, let's take advantage.
And let's pull back the curtain. Why did the odds makers open up the Rams a favorite? Well, that was the look-ahead line. A week ago, the hypothetical matchup, Rams-New England, Rams minus one. So I can see the odds makers saying, well, let's see what happened this weekend. New England won at Kansas City in overtime. The Rams won at New Orleans in overtime. There's no reason really to change that line. Let's keep the Rams minus one, not realizing just how much more impressive the New England overtime win really was.
Yeah, I think some of that was box score versus scoreboard, right? Where the Pats were clear winners, where the Rams was a real true coin flip, I think. Though KC could have won, Patriots dominated the game. I also think, though, there probably was an underestimating of the changes in the betting pool. Who's betting, right? So a Tuesday game in February, West Coast, Portland State, who's batting? It's mostly professionals or quasi-professionals. Let's call them half professionals. Who's betting the Final Four? A lot of Freddie Fanny packs that are betting a handful of games in a year. So the public's love, not so much love, but respect and awareness, being familiar with Brady, Belichick, Patriots, it's going to make you want to bet. If you say, do you want to be with your old friend? It's almost like on TV shows, right? How rare is it on a TV show to change the stars? Now, a great show, an amazing show, maybe, in my opinion, one of the top three shows of all time, some say the best, The Wire, right? Fox's, there's a lot of people at Fox that love The Wire. You hear a lot of talk. Whitlock always talking The Wire. I love the show. In the fourth season, they pretty much changed half the cast. It was the Barksdales were in jail or some were dead. And here comes the new gangsters, the new owner of the street corner. It takes guts, right? Friday Night Lights changed. But most shows, 99% of shows, if they have a choice, don't change. Why? Because we're familiar. Yeah, maybe it's a little bit boring, but we're familiar that 6-7 season. Well, if you're a casual batter, how familiar are you with Tom Brady, Belichick? How comfortable are you going to be with them relative to, oh, I've heard about this Goff. I think I saw him play a quarter in that Monday night game. So I think it's, yeah, Pats look better than we thought. Answered probably their biggest question, which was performance on the road. Stats look great for the Pats, but I think more who's betting this game. And you might say, well, RJ, those casual bettors aren't betting 2 weeks ahead. But remember, and Fez, you can confirm this, if you like the Patriots and you know the public is going to be getting involved on the Pats, you're going to be more motivated by Pats being the more public team to bet early so you can get out ahead of that.
Yes, when there's a good story about why the public's going to back a team, beat them to the punch and get in first.
All right, so here's the question. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, talking with Steve Fezzik, a master at reading the markets. We're going to ask him to read the market for the Super Bowl. Where does this game close?
This game's going to close right where it's at right now, Patriots minus 2.5.
Ooh, now, I got to be honest with you. I'm feeling like a bet. This is kind of seeding the ground. I think it's going to 3. So how do we measure? Well, why don't we do this? You've just said one of the rules on Straight Out of Vegas is if you say something, anyone at the table can bet the opposite. All they've got to do is pick up the green button. It's green. It's got a dollar sign on it. It's a button. You press it, and we've just bet $100 on it. Now, listen, Fezzik tips $100. Well, maybe if the bill is like $700 at a restaurant, he tips $100. But, you tip. But it's the pride. It's handing over that $100. Now, Brad, you're allowed betting this if you want. I mean, anyone at the table, do you want to stick with me?
Yeah, I'm with you, RJ.
All right, so here's the bet. I think it's closing at 3. In the next day or two, we'll figure out which book it is that's going to measure it or whatever. We'll talk about that. You think it's 2.5. It's steamed up. What makes you think it's stopping here?
I'm not sure it does stop initially. It might go to 3 for a little while.
All right, so you're thinking it goes to 3, maybe, possibly, likely for a little while, Pat's favorite, and then it gets what, bought back?
Yes. And part of the reason I think this, and I understand, and you bring up a great point, there's a whole lot of public money in this pool, but what have we seen the last 2 playoff games? We saw tons of money on the Chargers in the worst spot I've ever seen.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, against the Patriots, but that's the thing. The questions about the Pats have been answered. It's like when Pacquiao is a good example. Pacquiao had a good fight, and it's almost like now the Mayweather Pacquiao, everyone's like, they want to believe the old timer can still do it. You just sometimes have to prove it. And it feels like the Pats I would make the case the most impressive win of the playoffs, going into Kansas City and winning that game, right?
Absolutely.
The way they won it.
Yes, dominating the yardage.
So if you have the pedigree team that they, you know, the Super Bowls are holding down his hand because he's got all the rings on, and then they have the best performance, and now Brady's up there smiling with his dimples all week during the press week, I can't imagine you're thinking there's going to be a ton of Rams money.
All it takes is a couple really big syndicates that love, for whatever reason, to bet against these Patriots to go ahead and fire in $500,000 bets.
Well, here's what's great. Most shows, they jibber and jabber and jibber and jabber. Once you start talking here, if we disagree, we bet you and pipe you down, and someone's going to pay one way or the other. Brad, you and I say this line gets to 3.
Yep.
Fez says this line maybe gets to 3 at some point, but doesn't close 3. And oh, by the way, when we come back, we're going to tell you, if you like the Patriots, when should you bet? Because what Fezzik said might be confusing. There's a very clear answer of when to bet if you like the Patriots.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
I'm- I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we have got some recommendations on how to bet and when to bet Super Bowl 53.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 57 degrees. Yay, Vegas, and the neon is flowing.
So, RJ, you guys talked about it, the line movement. It's now at 2.5, possibly to 3. There's already bets flying around in the Vegas studios. So teach us the way. If I if I like the Pats, when do I bet? And if I like the Rams, when do I bet?
You know, when there's a sophisticated expert, poker, sports betting, oftentimes the answer is, it depends. And that gets boring. I love it when the answer is clear, when it's a do this if you like the Pats, do this if you like the Rams. I think, Fez, we have it here. And here's a concept that we sound like very smart with. And let's be honest, we all like to sound smart when we can. Asymmetric risk. That's what the hedge funds talk about. What does it mean? It's a fancy way of saying that one side of the possibilities is much worse than the other side of the possibilities. Imagine if you're flipping a coin and heads means you win a little something and tails means you lose a ton. Well, that sounds horrible. But also imagine the flip side, which is, oh, you lose a little something or you win a ton. That's what we have on the Patriots. The line right now is 2.5. Patriots favored. Now, if you like the Pats, what do you gain if you wait? Well, the line might drop to 2, might drop to 1.5. Well, what do you gain? Not much, because very few games fall 2. You gain something, just a little something, if you wait on the Pats and it goes down. If it goes up to 3, what do you lose? You lose the biggest half point in football betting. Because more games end 3 than any other margin. If a team is favored by around 3, the game falls 3 with the favorite winning nearly 10% of the time. So even if we felt like 50-50, half the time it's going to go up to 3, half the time it's going to go down to 2, and the other time it stays the same, we just throw that out because it doesn't matter when you bet, then I would certainly say unequivocally, objectively, it doesn't depend. If you like the Patriots, bet them now. You're risking very little. Well, I guess you're gaining very little by waiting, and you risk a lot. And then the flip side, if you like the Rams, you wait. Because if it falls to 2, okay, you lost a little something. But if it goes up to 3, yum, yum, now you got the Rams plus 3. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree strongly with that. And the extreme example of how much stronger these bets are, think about if these two teams go to overtime, RJ. So New England doesn't even outplay the Rams for 60 minutes. I'm still feeling pretty good with New England minus 2.5.
If anything, you're probably better than 50% at that point.
Oh, yes. But if I got New England minus 3, I'm like, I'm drawn to a one-outer. I need a touchdown here, probably on the very first drive.
Great point from Steve Fezzik. So, to recap, if you like the Pats and you're sure of it, bet it now. You got little to gain from waiting. And if you like the Rams, wait. You got a lot to gain from waiting.
You know, RJ, we always hear that you don't want to be betting with people like me, right? You don't want
No.
If you see that I'm on your side, run the other way regardless of what the other way means, okay? Do a Thelma and Louise, go off the cliff. Don't bet with me. Don't bet with the public. But the money is pointing towards the New England Patriots. So what do we do with this?
Did you hear the ringing bell?
Yes, because I got those correct.
What he's saying is so correct. Well, here's the thing. You always hear, don't bet with the public. In fact, we even named the public derisively Freddie Fanny Pack. He has a fanny pack. That ain't cool. He's got a pot belly over the fanny pack, so it's kind of tucked under there, right? He's got his menthol cigarettes, who knows what, in there, right? At minimum, a discount brand. And he's walking down Fremont Street with a deep-fried Twinkie on a stick, eating it every 4 steps. Just think about that for a minute. Now, who wants to be with that guy? But I think people get that wrong. if I were betting the opening number and I'm the first person in the world to bet, like Brad sometimes is in college football, Fez, you are sometimes in the NFL, you're right there waiting to gobble up a mistake from the odds maker. You really probably don't care which side the public's on. You care which side is the correct side. And yeah, it is viscerally in your gut uncomfortable to be thinking, oh, wait, I'm betting with Freddie. But most of the time, you're not going to be betting with Freddie just because Freddie sees the game wrong most of the time. But sometimes he sees it right. And I have no problem being with Freddie if I bet early. Why? Because Freddie didn't affect the price. So imagine, and let's use the Patriots game as a perfect example. It's all Pat's money so far. In fact, Brad, up at pregame.com, you can go to the game center, click the consensus tab. This is all free. You can see the ticket count split, and you can see the cash split. Now, pregame.com is the only place on the internet the cash split on every game is free, or really any games are free. What are we seeing so far? I mean, we say Pat's money. The numbers are eye-popping.
Yeah, so nearly $750,000 of handle so far at pregame.com. 78% of the tickets on the Patriots, 78% of the cash also on the Patriots.
Yes, so over three quarters. Now, does that make me not want to bet the Pats? If I could have got the opening number, pick them, let's say even plus one on the Pats, I would say, no problem, Freddie, come on over. Let's have a party. But what ends up, bring the Twinkies. But what ended up happening was Freddie's got in line, started betting. Line went up, pick him. One, one and a half, two, two and a half. Now it's Freddie making the Patriots expensive. Now I don't want to bet with Freddie. Not because Freddie's so stupid, but because Freddie made the right side in this case expensive. So when we say, oh, the public doesn't win, oh, don't bet with the public, it's not because we don't want to side with Freddie. It's because we don't want to bet a game after the Freddies of the world, the recreational bettors, after they made that side expensive. And unfortunately, I think Jonas asked the right question. I might have to sit out the side here. I think my gut feeling early, my early thought is the Patriots are the right side, but I can't get them at the right price because the Freddies, fanny packs of the world has made the Patriots expensive. That's why I'm rarely betting with Freddie. Fez, agree, disagree?
Yeah, I agree. And it's easy to say, RJ, hey, pick them, minus 2.5. Ugh. It's really unlikely they're going to win by one or two. And I like to look at the money line to show how much value I really lost. I could add the Patriots minus $1.10.
All right, so minus $1.10 just to win the game. No point spread. Now?
Minus $1.35.
Those quarters, Jonas, you wouldn't be at this job. You'd be here in Vegas, you know, up in one of the VIP suites. And I'd be like, Jonas, can I get in? And you're like, Tuesday night, maybe, RJ, but no weekends. It's full up.
No, I'd be those guys on the down the strip that are handing out those pamphlets. You know, they got the yellow aprons in front of them. I think we all know what those are.
Hey, it's very important to be self-critical and honest, Jonas.
All right. So, RJ, you gave out some free therapy on the show yesterday. People were trying to figure out, what's wrong with me? What the hell have I done wrong? And you expose them.
Why am I here?
Yeah, you expose them on the air regarding their feelings towards Bill Belichick. Please explain.
Well, first off, let me say, and again, you're very, I mean, would you, some people hate other people. Would you say you just hate people in general? Like misanthropic is the technical term?
I feel it's unfair to just put people in an isolated room, so I just hate everything.
There we go. Yeah, he doesn't want to discriminate.
No.
Very, very sharp tongue, John. It makes me seem kind of nice, which isn't easy, right? Well, I'm going to do a good job here maybe of making even more people mad. But we do have the smartest audience in sports radio, so I think a lot of people are going to say, yeah, you're right. Here was the conclusion I had. Most people are not as successful as Bill Belichick at whatever they do. Most people aren't world class, top of the world quality at whatever they do best. And there's two choices how you can respond to that. Choice number one, okay, I'm just not that much of a worker. I'd rather sit on the couch and I'd like to be great. I just don't have it in me to try. Boy, That's a tough thing to say. The other thing to say is, luck of the draw. Some people so talented. Look at Mahomes. I could never do that. Look at Kobe. Look at LeBron. No way. I played high school basketball, but I wasn't LeBron because look at LeBron. And I think that's why people love to embrace hyper talents. Because on one hand, they can say, isn't that great? And we appreciate greatness. On the other hand, it's not an indictment because they could never do that because they don't have that over-the-top talent. On the other hand, Bill Belichick, very intelligent, but he's not like Rain Man, you know, counting toothpicks in the diner. He doesn't have a PhD from Harvard. He's just a smart guy that has spent his life working hard. No days off. Not last year, this year, year before, since he was like 20 years old, 22 years old. There's a great book. If you want to read one book about Belichick, it's called The Making of a Coach by Haberstams, his name, the author. He's dead now, but he's a really well-regarded author that would write one sports book and then one like history book. Very academic, but it was a real study. I think it was written in 2005 or six about how Belichick became the coach that he is. And I promise you, it's not massive talent. It's massive effort. And you know something? Myself included, and I'm the first one to look at myself and say this is true. Almost all of us have something. If we worked as hard as Belichick did, almost all of us have something we could be world-class at. But we choose not to. And maybe for some of us, that's a good choice. Hey, I'm a family man. Hey, I want to do this. I want to do that. Who cares? Eventually, we're all going to be dust anyway. What's the difference? There's all kind of theories on it. And that's fine. But there's other people that really wish they were great. And they look at Belichick and they don't like him. Because Belichick shows that you have a choice to be great if you're willing to devote your life to it. That's my thought. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the phone lines. And if you disagree, listen, I know, like we said, smartest audience. A lot of you agree. And you're thinking, wow, RJ's right. Do I really want to be great? What should I be doing? It's an interesting conversation to have. But I want to hear the people that disagree, the people that's offended. But 30 seconds. We're going to give you 30 seconds to make your case. So here's the number, and then we're going to do a quick update and start taking calls. 877-996-6369. Saying it again, 877-99-ON-FOX, toll-free. Call in, make your case, 30 seconds after the news.
That's coming up next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Isaac Lowenkron.
Jonas Adrian Wojnarowski reports the New Orleans Pelicans star Anthony Davis could return to action from his finger injury as soon as next week, with agent Rich Paul telling Woj, it's a better outcome than we originally feared. LeBron James returned to the practice floor today in limited fashion for some non-contact drills with his teammates. He's been ruled out of Thursday's game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, but has not yet been ruled out of Sunday's game against the Phoenix Suns. James has missed the last 14 with a groin injury. NFL, the Jets have hired Dole Loggins to be their new offensive coordinator. Loggins was part of Adam Gase's Dolphins coaching staff last season. And Dallas Cowboys receiver Cole Beasley has clarified his recent comment that the Cowboys' front office pushes who they want to get the ball to. Beasley tweeted this afternoon, quote, every team's game plan in pro sports is dictated by the front office. Big free agent additions, high draft picks, etc. are going to get the most opportunities. And I'm not mad at that. LOL, I just want to help my team win. All good players want the rock. Unquote. On that note, back to you.
Thanks, Isaac. We are straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Wednesday night. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Okay, we're going to be taking calls on Belichick. Does he show that it just takes effort to be great? And Jonas, I'm going to let you, the master mechanic,
all right,
run the phones. That way, if it's bad, I can blame you. But oh, by the way, 30-second limit. I don't care if you're repeating the Declaration of Independence. When it hits 30, phone line goes dead.
Seriously, and we got John Ramos working the board. There's nothing he enjoys more outside of seeing his son play Little League than cutting someone off on the air if they go too long. So he's
awesome.
The perfect guy.
We got the right board up.
All right, let's first go to Steven in Florida, who's with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Steven, what's happening? You're on Straight Out of Vegas.
What's going on? Oh, fellas, Straight Out of Vegas, Bill Belichick, football, being a great guy aspects, and just moral image. And the world today is probably a leader. He's not intimidating, but he's very persuasive as a person. If I were to have 30 seconds to tell you what would it do to be very positive, to be the leader and the person that he is, I would stand in front of my own face, walk into someone else's, you know, workplace, be it.
And that's a wrap. See you, pal.
Now, what we should be doing, Jonas, and you should do it, give them a seven-second, is say 7 seconds, and then they know to wrap. Now, what I would say, what I could gather from that, and I'm not sure how many callers we're going to be taking, but what I could gather from that was he was kind of making my case that Belichick represents something that we should all admire. Because even if we choose not to make that huge sacrifice to be great, at least we know it's possible. And to me, it's wonderful to think that almost anyone you see on the street could be great. That makes you kind of, I think, again, since Jonas is kind of a people hater, misanthropic, I want good things for people. I just don't like bookies.
I mean, I'm glad that you got something from that because I didn't get a damn thing. I have no idea what he's talking about. Let's go to Seattle. Dustin, you are on Fox Sports Radio Straight Out of Vegas. Go.
Hey, I think most people can be great, and a lot of great people end their lives in regret that they've wasted it because they spend their time on themselves and their own greatness rather than leveraging their greatness to help others. So the key to happiness is, it seems to me, helping others with your greatness. That's all I got, fellas. Love the show.
There he is.
Oh, well, that was pretty good. Now, that was a different angle because I was just reading recently, and a book just came out about it's the first aggregation of dying words. There was someone who, I think they worked in a hospice for a long time, and there's a book out in which it's like literally a couple hundred pages verbatim of people's dying words. As in, you know, like one of the things they said was that guys especially, like almost half the time when they get delirious, the last things they do is they cry for their mother, like, mom, mom. And like, imagine you're 80 years old. And, you know, so I do think that question of what, when you're on, when you hit the sunset, right, and you ponder, a lot of people say you're never going to say, I wish I would have worked another day in the office, right? I wish, a lot of people are going to say that's when you're going to wish you spent time with your kids. Now, that seems to run contrary to this whole greatness idea. So maybe the question becomes, can you be great and still be, let's say, a good father? Because if you kind of read the people in history, let's say in modern history, that's been great, a Steve Jobs, go up and down the list of those types, usually difficult relationships with their kids, right? So can you be a great performer and a good father? I think that's an open question. But I think the last caller made an interesting point, which was if your greatness is meaningful, you might be the greatest card counter in the world in blackjack, but all that's doing is putting money in your pocket. But if somehow you take that money and you create a great scholarship that helps dozens of underprivileged kids go to college, now your greatness means something, and on your deathbed, maybe you're going to feel better about it. But I do think the whole family effort thing, you got to be realistic. There's only so much time in a day. Jonas, if you think we got a good one, let's go one more.
All right, let's go to Brandon in California. Brandon, you're on Fox Sports Radio. Go.
Hey, you know, I'm excited about the question here. You know, in regard to greatness, with specifically Tom Brady and others, if they are truly great, are they likable at the end of the day? And that's one thing. You mentioned Steve Jobs. You mentioned Bill Belichick. Yes, great, but do you like them? And most of these people at the end of the day think these guys are you know what, don't like working with them and have outside opinions about their character after doing so. So that's my comment.
Well, I think that's a great comment to close on, because that's the point. most people don't like them because the Belichicks. And let's break this up. Is it people that work with them that know them? Because you're going to get that too. And then it's people from the outside. But I think in general, if you so respect the pursuit of greatness, no matter how much effort it takes, you're going to look and say, yeah, they made some sacrifices. Yeah, maybe they're not all touchy-feely all the time. Maybe they're hardcore, but they're doing it for a reason. They're not doing it to be hardcore. They're doing it because that's the only way to get to the finish line. And people on the outside are looking and saying, oh, but why not be nice to them? Sometimes you don't have a choice. It's got to be one or it's got to be the other. I would make the case personally. I've had people come and go, and obviously I've been imperfect as a manager, but I think in general, the people that succeeded at pregame.com are the hardest workers, and the ones that haven't aren't. And I'm not saying that's the case in every case, but if you did like a graph, a data point graph, there would be a pretty strong correlation to how hard you work to your success with us. And I would make the case with, and again, I'm no Belichick, but I would make the case with those super next level guys, that's the case. You hear Mike Lombardi, he doesn't seem to be afraid to work. He worships Belichick. You see some players leave, they don't seem to have a great work ethic, and they say, oh, can't we have some fun while we win Super Bowls? Well, 31 teams are probably having more fun in the Pats, and the Super Bowls on the Pats side dominate. I think that tells a story. Hey, good. I'm going to be open to more callers. I felt like that we reinforced straight out of Vegas, smartest listeners in sports radio. When we come back, best bets on tonight's action.
That's next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We've got a doubleheader in the NBA on ESPN, tipping off a little over an hour from now at 8 Eastern time in Philadelphia. It is the Spurs at the 76ers right now on pregame.com. Philly is a 2.5-point favorite.
Steve Fezzik originates in the NFL, but also in the NBA, a specialist. What do you got, Fess?
I'm going to lean to Philly in this game. Home road dichotomy, RJ. Philly, so much better at home. 20-5 year to date at home, only 11-12 away. And the Spurs, as good as they've been at home, 18-7, they're not to be trusted when they hit the highway, 9-14 straight up.
So your pick is?
I lean to Philadelphia. The reason it's
so you
not,
don't like it?
Because Jimmy Butler is out and he has been playing.
Is that good
well.
Or bad?
That's bad. He's worth a good 2.5 points.
Now, let me ask you, Butler, in hindsight, is that a good trade they made, the Sixers?
I think it's too early to determine.
Boy, Brad, it seems like the majority opinion on this is it was a horrible trade.
Yeah, a lot of people negative, just being locker room concerns and causing a little bit of controversy between the two stars already established there. I would say more negative than positive at this point.
Last thing about the Sixers, would you say a younger, more immature team tends to need home field, home court more?
Certainly makes a lot of sense.
In the NBA.
After they go final in Philadelphia, it'll be the Nuggets at the Jazz. Right now, Utah, a 4-point favorite on pregame.com.
Like the Utah Jazz, I bet the Utah Jazz, and the Jazz are quietly playing their best basketball this season. They're 6-1 the last 7 games. I can argue they really should be 7-0. Look at what happened last game they played. Portland 109, Utah 104. Portland hits for 8-for-18 from 3-point land. The Jazz 7-for-33, only 21%. I think the Jazz are angry about dropping a home game, and they go ahead and take care of business tonight.
All right, so motivation in the NBA, always important because there's more ebbs and flows than any other sport. Also, shooting percentage, you might say, well, that's a good team. They make shots. Every team has their baseline. Oh, they're going to hit this many threes on average. When they go way above or below that, it's usually not all about the defense is either weak or strong. It's usually just a cold shooting night, just a hot shooting night, and that can cause deceiving results. And you're saying, hey, Jazz are better than they seemed last game. Because they shot so bad, and because they shot so bad, they're motivated after the loss.
Yes, and I bet the Jazz and their opponent is coming off back-to-back blowout wins. A little fat and happy, I think, the Denver Nuggets.
All right, Nuggets, fat and happy. Utah Jazz, you bet them. Steve Fezzik, tonight's action. That's what we do. Last segment of the show, we'll give you look-ahead best bets and the TV games, what you need to know, straight out of Vegas tells you.
Elsewhere in the NBA, the Lakers are off tonight, but it's LeBron James who's been off for several nights. 14 games now in a row LeBron has missed for LA. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on the absence of King James?
Father Time is undefeated, as Mark Jackson would say. Fez, you've got odds on the Lakers making eighth seed style, making the playoffs.
Yeah, big underdog to make the playoffs. Lakers currently only 30% to make the playoffs.
I tell you, if you actually look at the ATS record against the spread since LeBron's been out, it's not horrible, Brad.
No, the Lakers are 6-7-1 against the number, Vegas being the great equalizer. Those 14 games, the Lakers combined have only come up short 5 points on the Vegas line.
So the adjustment's been right, but it's a big adjustment. It reinforces LeBron, most valuable player, Vegas perspective-wise, in the NBA still. You know, we're going to start a new segment. We don't have time for it today, Jonas. A couple times a week, Fezzik's going to scan the birthdays of anyone and everyone, and he's going to give you his thoughts. Now, today it was Amber Thiessen, and as we were prepping it, he said, Amber Thiessen. And then he said, wasn't she on Beverly Hills 90210? So that's the that is the kind of Fez, like, you're going to say, if this guy knows so little about this, he's got to know so much about Vegas.
Straight out of Vegas!